panels you need to be introduced. Would you like to be introduced?
Go right ahead.
I think I should probably.
I'm going to turn my time over.
Yes. Okay.
Go right ahead.
So we have, what are you speaking on tonight?
We are speaking on...
Somebody should have long-term abstinence.
Long-term abstinence, the thing that we would all love to have. I know I would.
Surrender to it.
Yeah. Okay. So the theme of our panel discussion tonight is surrender to a new way of life. And joining us for the discussion this evening are Ginny, our region chair from Region 7. I screwed up earlier, so I got to get right this time. and from Region 2. Oh, that's right. She's from California.
Mm-hmm.
Our Cali girl is here with us tonight. And CJ is here from Chicago.
Yay.
Region 4. 5.
5.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Because, right, 4 is Midwest, lower 5 is up there. Okay. I'm a little bit of a newbie at this. I was a green dot earlier today, but I got to take off my green dot, so.
Okay.
Yay! All right, so without further ado, ladies, please
Thank
take it away.
You. Okay, I guess I'm going first. Hello and good evening. My name is Jenny Sisolak. I'm from Central Jersey, and I am a compulsive overeater, abstinent for today, thank God.
Yay.
Okay, so I'm putting my timer on, and let's see if I can find my stuff.
Checking your email.
It's all, yeah, I'm checking my email, right? Because my notes are here, and it would be helpful. So anyway, before I even start with that, I just want to say thank you all so much for being here. This has been an awesome few days. It's been a long time since I've been in Colorado, and I'm very happy to be back. So we all got this little kit, right? And when I was getting ready to come down to dinner, I actually looked through it. So I want to say, it is not all about me. And that was the first thing that I did when I finally got abstinent, is I realized it was not all about me. Okay, so that's Friday night. All right. I'm very quickly trying to find my notes, which of course I can't. Okay, so anyway, this is about long-term recovery. So those of you who heard me talk the other day, I was talking about how I came into the program in 1985, and I had 2 children abstinently, and when my youngest son was just about 2, I decided that other people could do those things that I was doing. I don't need to be an intergroup rep anymore. Didn't need to do as much as I was doing. I was busy. I had 2 kids. And I went into relapse. And that lasted 8 years. So, long-term recovery. I want to talk about what I needed to do right. Because I found out for 8 years, deeply into the food, what not to do. So, when I came back on June 7th in 2006... Of course, the first thing I had to do was put down the food. Hello. So, what I needed to learn was what those foods were that I needed to let go of. And just like an alcoholic, I have certain foods that don't work for me. And I love this program because it's not a diet. And diet mentality was my life before. And I would think, okay, diet for a little while, have a little of this, have a little of that. Well, that was my problem because just like an alcoholic, if I dabble in those foods, I'm going to go right back into it, as I did for 8 years. So I have learned since I came back 11 years ago the things that I should do, which is simple. First, put down the food. Okay. You like that? Simple, but not easy. Okay, so I found a food plan. I found a sponsor. I work with my sponsor daily. Okay, so what else do I do? I have to trust in a higher power. That was hard for me because, you know, I thought I could do it on my own. So once I became willing, and I don't have my flag, and once I surrendered, I was able to trust in that higher power completely. What do I do daily? Before I get out of bed, I pray and I meditate. It changes my entire attitude and my entire thought process for the day, because it's not about me. So I do that, and I have two grown children now, and they both have learned through the process that they don't come into mommy's room. Mommy comes out of the room, because I'm a nicer person after I pray and meditate. Right? So I do that every day. I then enter my life, and I do a reading, either from the big book or another piece of literature. Right now I'm working with Voices of Recovery, which I love. I do a reading every day. I belong to 3 email loops, and after I do the reading for the day, I write on it. I do a share, and it puts me in a positive mood. I also share what's going on in my life, so they all know I'm here with all of you. And it just puts a wonderful spin on my life, because, again, it's not about me. And I love that fact. Service is very, very important to me. That's why I'm a region chair now. And it's funny, because when I first came into program, I saw all those people at the meeting sharing, standing up in front of the meeting and talking, and I thought, man, that's really nice, but I will never do that. No way. And then when I had 30 days of abstinence, my sponsor said, your turn. Put your name on the calendar. You're speaking at that meeting. And I learned that that's how I stay abstinent, is I share what I have. So, every day I do these certain things because I need to let go of myself. I have a certain reading that I do from the big book, page 86 to 88. I review my life. I don't just do it in the evening or in the morning. I live it. I have a constant companion of my higher power who will remind me. Think, pause. I love that word, because I would never even think of pausing. I was very combative, and if you said red, you said it was red, I would fight you to the death that it was green, even if I knew full well it was red. It didn't matter. So today I can pause, and I pause often. And it's a wonderful thing, because I can take a step back, and my higher power always jumps in. There's a prayer that I do when I'm not sure of an answer. And I ask God to, how does it go? I ask God to increase my desire to do whatever it is that I think I might be wanting to do, or decrease my desire for that same thing. And your will be done. And I give it to God. Sometimes it takes a couple of days. Once it took a month. But it always works. And I always remember, God makes me wait, and that's okay. In fact, I'll tell you that when I was in program when my kids were little, my first son was colicky. And I kept wishing. I kept saying, oh, my God, give me patience, give me patience. And it was like a week later when he got colicky. He was colicky for 12 weeks to the day. God was teaching me how to wait. Be patient. It's okay. And I learned it. I'm really careful about asking for patience now. okay, God, I'll just wait. It's all good. So life is so much better when I'm abstinent and actively in my recovery, because I don't think about myself. I help others. Or I ask if others need help. I'm at work. I'm a better person because I listen, and I'm not jumping in continuously. I do a service job for senior citizens who are absolutely wonderful. This year, the day before Mother's Day, I turned 60, And there's nothing like working with senior citizens who say, oh, honey, you are a baby. And it's like, thank you, because now I believe that. Even though my 20-year-old son likes to remind people, my mother is 40 years older than me. Almost to the day, the little brat. But anyway, it's all good. So he's still alive because I work this program. And that's what recovery does for me. I can see the humor in it. I don't bite his head off. Because when I was in the food, everybody was wrong. Everybody was out to get me. And it was a waste of energy. Now I get to be part of this wonderful fellowship. I have met so many people through OA. And, you know, if you're just hanging out with your intergroup or with your meetings, think about spreading out a little bit. I mean, here, if you're part of Region 3, it's a whole nother world. You meet people who have abstinence and who are in different areas. When you get involved with World Service, this has been my experience. I love it because now I have people, just with the 10 region chairs, I have people I could call any time of day or night. Yeah, well, it's their day, so that's nice. Yes, exactly. Day or night. I mean, you know, we have a region chair from Australia. I could call him, and it's daytime for him, even if it's in the middle of the night for me. So what happens is those phone calls that they, you know, that we were told at the beginning, I'll make phone calls. I used to just make calls for people in my neighborhood, people at my meetings. Then I got involved in intergroups, so it was a little broader. Then region. Now I got people in 7 different states, which is awesome. Then I became a rep for World Service. Oh, my God. In fact, that's how I met CJ. We were both green dots, and they actually made all the green dots lead workshops, and we did a great skit, and it was so much fun. And we've known each other since that. I think it's been 8 years. Is that right?
2013.
So, I mean, for me, I have made lifelong friends here. And, oh, my God, what a wonderful life that I have led because I put down the food. Yay, you know, living and working the steps every day. And in case you haven't read the traditions, it's not just the business. You know, the traditions have taught me to be a better person. I listen better. I read those traditions and I know that my life is better because of them. My sponsor had said, okay, read that tradition and tell me how you can deal with it in church, in work, with your family, anywhere where a group of people come together. We're not just talking about an OA meeting. I'm talking life. And it works, and it's been beautiful. I actually learned stuff. I have actually learned things since I came to OA because I can listen. It's not just about me anymore. So, my time's up. Keep coming back, and thank you so much for letting me be here tonight.
My name is Ann, grateful recovering compulsive overeater. I too am grateful to be here, and it's been an opportunity for me to see people I haven't seen for a while, and working with the region chairs has been the most amazing thing that's ever happened. Pulling people together from around the world and accomplishing things is just really, it's so fun. I highly recommend it. I've been in the program since 1980. We didn't have any OA literature at that time, so we used the big book and the AA 12 and 12. My AA 12 and 12 has underlining in multiple colors of ink, highlighting in multiple colors, Some things are highlighted, underlined with multiple colors, you know, so they were like really important to me. So when we started to get our literature, it was, I have the For Today book hardcover, came out in December of 1982. And I love that little book that's falling apart. It's traveled around the world with me. And that's one of the things I love about OA. It's so portable. The program is so, so portable. I've been imperfectly abstinent since 1982. I always say imperfectly because some days I make unhealthy or unwise choices with food, and then I look at it and go, well, that is not working. And I don't do it again. So that's why I always say imperfect, because I think too many of us are working, well, for me, I wanted to be perfect. I wanted to be perfect, and my sponsor kept telling me, no one is perfect. No one is perfect. So that was a real breakthrough with me. Another thing that I had to do was fire the god of my misunderstanding when I came in. The god that I grew up with was taking my inventory on a regular basis. Oops, she did that. Oops, she did that. Oops, she did that. I had to fire that god. And I needed to find a God that loved me no matter what. So I've been through a few things with that, you know. I swung clear over to a female God. Can't have a male God. Forget that. You know, then I swung back. So now my higher power is my mother, father, God. So I have both the male and the female aspects. And my God loves me no matter what. And wants the very best for me, even when I don't think that's the very best. But I really believe that. I believe that no matter what happens in my life, I'm going to be okay because I'm not alone. I'm not alone. I have my higher power with me 24/7. I have all of you. And I'm never going to be alone. So when I came into these rooms, I was a rageaholic. I learned that at my mother's knee. And I was, anger was my emotion. You know, that was the answer to everything, is that I'm angry. You know, and I have a son who was 10 when I came into the program. And I was a verbal, emotional, and sometimes a physical abuser of him. And I am not proud of that. But the people that are in my life today, other than my family, have never seen that side of me. Boy, they don't know how lucky they are. And I feel so grateful for that, because I'm pretty sure that that could come up again. But just for today, it doesn't. And I'm so, so grateful for that. And so when my son was a teenager, it was very interesting because we're both very strong-willed and strong-opinioned and want to have the last word. So thank goodness I was in program, and I was working 6 and 7 at the time. And so it was really good that I gave myself timeouts. Like, okay, and you better go to your room before you say or do something that you're going to have to make amends for. So remove yourself from the situation. So I'd go to my room, I'd write in my note, in my journal, you know, like it probably went through about 3 pages. And I would call my sponsor, and then I could actually work through that. So 6 and 7 are my favorite steps, because that's where I've seen the biggest change in my life. Also, and today I have an amazing relationship with my son, and that is totally because of the program. Totally, totally, totally. When he turned 20, I called him and I said, we both survived your teenage years. I did not kill you, and you did not kill me. Because we were so alike, we went head to head. And now, you know, he has his own business, and he calls me to consult with him on his business. Who knew I was the stupidest person in the world when he was a teenager? You know, so you just have to wait till they get a little older. About mid-20s, I started to get smart again. And it has continued. That's a really better thing. So, you know, my life is so different. So different. And please don't call me an old timer. Call me a long timer. Because I kind of have a negative feeling on the old, okay? Because I'm supposed to be my son's age. He's 47. I'm supposed to be that age. I'm not sure what happened that I'm almost 68. I have no idea how that happened. It's just a shocker to me. But it's because of this program. I am probably healthier than I've ever been in my entire life. Because I eat in a healthy way. I exercise regularly. I could never understand exercise bulimics. I thought there was something incredibly wrong with them. Because I never maintained an exercise program, and I do that now. That's amazing. And I work my program on a daily basis, and I give service. You know, I have a healthy life. You know, as being a compulsive overeater, there's always me that says, oh, I could always lose another 10 pounds. And it's like, I can wear every piece of clothing in my closet. And some of them I've had for years, and I can still wear them. I don't worry about, oh, it's summer. I wonder if I can still wear the clothes I wore last summer. I can still wear the clothes I last time. I may not like them anymore. I may give them away, but it's not because they don't fit. And that's because I work this program. You know, prayer and meditation is very important to me because I'm kind of I need to get grounded. I need to get grounded, and I need to be talking to my higher power on a daily basis. I read the Four Today and Voices of Recovery at breakfast every morning. Well, I didn't bring it with me, so I only have Four Today with me. But that's the one that never leaves my suitcase. That's the one from 1982 that never leaves my suitcase. Yes, I have been traveling a lot lately. But I'm so grateful because I can travel. I can travel. I've spent a lot of time traveling to Kenya and Uganda. There's no OA meetings there. But I take lifelines with me. I have a small 12 and 12 that I take with me. I have my Four Today I take with me. I'm actually going to go technology and actually get them downloaded to my phone because I never go any place without my phone. So my life is just a miracle. I mean, I look at it and I go, wow. I was born and raised on a farm in South Dakota, and I now live a 10-minute walk from the Pacific Ocean. Who knew? I didn't even see the ocean until I was like 30 or 31. And now that's where I live. It's like, wow. That would never have happened without this program. And it's all one day at a time. One of the things that happens, that has happened for me, that as a long timer, people think I know everything. And boy, that is such a setup. Because there's a part of me that wants to say, well, of course I know everything. I've been around a long time. But what happens is if I let myself be put on a pedestal, that means I'm no longer real. I have to be that image. And I can't be just another compulsive overeater working the 12 steps and 12 traditions one day at a time. And that's what I am. I'm just the run-of-the-mill compulsive overeater doing my best. To walk the talk, not just talk the talk, but walk the talk and recover on a daily basis. All of us have just today. Who knows what's going to happen tomorrow? I think I'm going to fly home, but who knows? I hope there's not going to be a hurricane in California. You just never know. You just never know what life is going to bring. And I'm just so grateful that today, when life shows up and it's not what I wanted, I have that belief it's because God wants something else for me. I read somewhere one time that God has three answers: yes, no, and not now. I don't like the not now. I like the yes a lot. But I have done things like, okay, this is what I want, and come hell or high water, I am going to get it. I'm going to go through that obstacle, around that obstacle, over that obstacle, and I have been so unhappy when I got there. And what I know today is that if I want to be happy, joyous, and free, I need to invite my higher power in my life every day, every moment, every meal, always. Because that God that I have, that Mother, Father, God, loves me no matter what. Even when I'm bitchy and moaning and feeling sorry for myself, Mother, Father, God loves me no matter what. And that was a big step for me because I was afraid. I will finish my sentence. I was afraid that God was going to do something that I didn't like. But what I found out is that I do things that aren't good for me when I try to fight against God's will. Thank you for listening.
Hello, family. My name is CJ, and I am a compulsive overeater.
Hi, CJ.
I'm actually CJ Muller. I live in the Chicago area, southwest suburb. I came into OA, the doors of OA, September 22nd of 2009. And by the grace of God and the love and support of that wonderful fellowship and that meeting, I was struck abstinent. I was not struck thin. I was struck abstinent. I had a huge goal. So my app tells me that I have been abstinent now for 7.98 years, 2,916 one day at a time. And that has been a huge blessing for me. When I came in, I had a my husband and I were going to be going back to New Zealand. I came in September. We were going to be going back in September of 2010. So I had 1 year to lose weight. Because when I was a foreign exchange student, when I was in high school, I was there for a year. I lived in New Zealand for a year. I had the first love of my life. And I was not going back there fat. He had dumped me during that year. And I didn't want him to say, thank God I dumped her when I did. Look at her now. So it was important to me. I had a huge goal to lose weight. I tried so many things, like we've all tried so many things that don't work for us. Because we're compulsive eaters. So I went in. I heard two wonderful speakers that first night. And I wanted what they had. I wanted to lose 100 pounds, and I wanted to be good with that, stay there. I could lose weight. I just couldn't keep it off. So I came in for the vanity, and I stayed for the sanity. And after I worked through steps, you know, I for many years I'd always say, why would he dump me? Why would he dump me? I worked the steps and I figured it out. I was selfish, self-centered. It was always all about me. And I didn't know that until I came into the rooms. One of the big book studies that I have listened to many, many times says, because I'm looking around at this room and I'm going, you know, this is the best looking group of sick people that I have ever seen. And I remind myself constantly, we're all just sick people trying to get well. I'm not gonna be this miracle of healing for everybody to go, ah, look at her. No, I am still just one sick person trying to get well one day at a time. Before OA, I was angry. I was bitter. I had so many resentments. Oh my God, I resented everything that you could possibly imagine. And it was always all about me. So in the past, I would say probably 4 years, I stopped watching news and listening to negative things. So most of my day is filled with uplifting music, because I realized that I was being depressed by all of the chaos in the world that I had no control over. I was a control freak too, by the way. So I just listen to this positive, uplifting music whenever I can, and I'm learning that I'm an overcomer. I never need to give up. I can always try one more day. I am a child of God. I often am reminded of a story I was told once, because many of us have the God of our, we don't understand him. And the story went that there was a man on the beach and he was digging a hole. And someone came along and said, what are you trying to do? He said, well, I'm going to dig a hole and I'm going to put the ocean in it. And to me, that's my concept of God. My little brain cannot possibly understand God, who is man. I don't think God's man, woman, or whatever. I don't know what God is. He's just a huge God, and he takes care of me every day. Once I surrendered to him, I didn't want to do that. I wanted to always have it my way. And, you know, here's my list of the things that you need to do for me today, God, so that I can stay saved. So I gave that up when I came in. Well, a year after I came in. It took me a long time. I learned that there's a better way. This way of life has been amazingly transforming for me. I learned that there's no enlightenment in the refrigerator. That light is not going to shed any light on my life. I don't have to go there. I have been constantly amazed and reminded of how much food is left over now that goes in the garbage, because I'm not eating it anymore. My husband's birthday cake from a couple weeks ago, I took it the following week because it was his actual birthday, and I thought that they would want to eat it. And somebody said, well, it's probably stale by now. And I was like, so? What difference would that possibly make? But they were like, no, we threw it away. So there is a better life, always. Principles Before Personalities has been a guideline for me. I don't always like what people say, and I don't always want to hear some of the things that people say, but it's always learning for me. I can always learn from other people, even when they're, ugh, you know, those kind of people. One of the WSBCs that I've gone to, and I've been blessed to go to five, one of my friends said, because I was a control freak, and I wanted to make sure that, you know, everybody was following the acts that I had set out for them. And she gave me this great, great statement. That is not my circus, and those are not my monkeys. And that has helped me through so many situations in my family. I have, my husband and I have now 6 grandchildren. And I am loved by my grandchildren and my children, which I'm not sure would have been the case, because I would have been telling my children how to raise their children, because that's not the way we used to do it. So God has helped me a lot. I'm not certain that 7.98 years consists of long-term abstinence, but for me, I never want to go back. Food is no longer an option. I don't feel like I'm deprived. When people are... I remember this, you know, there's certain specific points in my life that are so clear to me. One of my friends, we have a party every year, and she says to me, CJ, I want to bring something that you can eat. What dessert do you want me to bring? And, you know, they all know I'm in program. They've seen me lose. By the way, I lost over 80 pounds. This is me before. I thought I looked great this day, by the way. I remember it specifically, too. So anyway, I said, I'm not going to eat desserts, but bring what you always bring. Everyone loves it. And she's like, no, I really want to make something you can eat. I was like, don't worry about it. Just bring it. That's what they'll be looking for. And I remember very specifically that day, I had probably 50 people in my house and in my yard, and all the desserts were laid out on the table. And I saw what she had made, and it crossed my mind. She made that because she wants me to eat it. I should try it. Instantly, upon that thought, followed up without a split second, and then I'm going to try that one, and then I'm going to try that one, and I'm going to try that one. And I was like, oh, yes, I'm still a compulsive overeater. I can abstain from those things, but if I go there, I'm going there and down that tube. One of my very dear friends in program, her abstinence for her food plan was 3 meals a day with nothing in between. And she was at work one day, and she ate a grape because they were there. One grape. And she decided to go back out because she had called her abstinence. She had over a year at the time, but she had ate a grape. So she said, all right, I got to start over. Instead of starting over, she went back out. The last time I saw her, she had put on all of the weight and more over a grape. No, don't go there. We are imperfect people. And we just need to say, it's a new day. I'm going to start again today. And I'm not going to let that giant defeat me. Addiction is a giant. But we can watch the giant fall. When we band together, we keep coming to meetings, we keep making phone calls, we use our tools, we give our service. We will beat this. We'll never be cured. I've learned that from that one dessert. I know that crazy person is still in my head. But we can abstain one day at a time. And I have been blessed by World Service. I've been blessed by all of the service. Actually, the previous chair, she called me one day last year and said, I don't want an answer now. I just want you to think about running for chair. And the instant thought in my head was like, I can't possibly do that. I don't know enough. How could I do that? I'm still learning this. I cannot do that. All in my head. God taught me to pause, wait, think, pray, ask. Don't jump in there and give an answer instantly. So I said, all right, I'll think about it. And you know, when you think about things, I shouldn't say when you do, when I think about things, and my mind wants to say, no, I can't possibly do that. I can't. You're not smart enough. You don't know enough. You'll blow it. This huge fellowship is depending on me to make it. No, it wasn't. And I can remember the day that I was elected. It was November. And I thought, even that day, they're going to vote no. You know, they're going to look at me and say, no, not her. Not recovered enough. No, she cannot lead this region. And by the grace of God and the love and support of this fellowship, and thank you, Karen, they did not say CJ got, there were 34 votes, CJ got 20. You know, it was just, this is how many votes she needed, and she did it. Because the crazy person in my head would have gone, if there were 34 votes and I only got 33 of them, who didn't like me? Why? So that was a gift and a blessing. The crazy person in my head still wants to know, how many votes did I get? But time's up. That's another story.
Thank you, ladies. You can...